And we've got some huge news to kick off this podcast. On November 17th at Idle Hands Craft Ales, we will be doing trivia, finally, for The Office. So come one, come all, and we are just going to come all over the place.
Don't spill the chili.
Just like Kevin. That's an office question. That's a trivia question right there. Shime, thank you. And also with me is Keith. And
what's
I
up?
Figure before we move on to The Office trivia, which once again, we want everybody there, we do have some leftover questions from our spooky night trivia. And I said to myself, hey, got a bit of a scream queen right below me. And then Antichrist Shine over here on the side. So I'll toss a couple questions here at you guys. This one here is for Shime. This was a question from last night. The Paranormal Activity movie franchise began in the year 2009 and has earned almost $900 million worldwide. How many movies are in the franchise?
Keith and I actually were just discussing this about a week ago because the trailer for, what is it, Next of Kin is out.
Correct.
I believe there are, I want to say there's six, and that would be the seventh.
That is correct. You would have earned 2 points. This one goes to Keith here. The 1990 classic Ghost sees Patrick Swayze's Sam and Demi Moore's Molly in what can only be described as the sexiest pottery scene of all time, set to this Righteous Brothers song.
I'm not the music guy on the Hashtag Dork Podcast. I have no idea. I'm terrible with lyrics. I'm terrible with names of songs, names of bands. I'm useless with that.
The answer is Unchained Melody. Unchained Melody, and that would have netted you 5 points.
Ooh, that's tough.
This one can go to either of you. How many movies featuring Michael Myers have simply been titled Halloween?
Three.
The answer is three. That would have gotten you 4. This one would have gotten you 5. Gremlins 2, the new batch, decided to move away from spooky and get into parody, instead having a flashing gremlin, a flash dance gremlin, and a gremlin caroler, just to name a few. The movie also featured an appearance by this wrestler who got pissed at the gremlins for taking over a movie projector.
Macho Man Randy Savage?
That was also my guess.
The answer is Hulk Hogan.
Oh.
Hulk Hogan. Let's not forget that he had just been fired from wrestling for doing Rocky III.
Damn it.
This one goes to Keith for 3 points, also known as the Luton Bus. Most consider this horror movie cliche to be cheap.
What did you say? Luton Bus?
The Luton Bus.
The Luton Bus? Running up the stairs when somebody comes in your house.
I'm sorry, the answer is the jump scare. The jump scare.
Ooh, of course.
Oh, I like a good jump scare.
And the Luton Bus, the term, comes from the movie Cat People from 1942, widely considered to be the first jump scare. You can put that under your cap for later in the day.
I'll hang on to that.
Stash that one.
According to our Bible, Gizmodo.com, what holiday has been used the most in horror movies?
Christmas?
Christmas is the correct answer. Doubling up Halloween, 46-23.
That's weird. Really?
I will give you one more, and this was the final question. In Scream, Jamie Kennedy's Randy Meeks lays down the definitive rules to surviving a horror movie. What is rule numero uno?
Can't have sex.
The answer is no sex.
One, goo, three, yeah!
Mac and goo!
Jaws 3!
Mac and goo!
King of Queens!
Mac and goo!
Meryl Streep!
Mac, goo, and
entertainment!
I'm Goo, and as you can tell, Mac is not here, and while the cat is away, the geese shall play. And what does Goo do every single time that Mac does not feel like podcasting? He talks about Batman. Joining me is Shime to my stage left and Keith to the power bottom. And Shime and I had discussed this a little while back, and Keith had tweeted this out on Batman Day. And I thought it's the perfect time with DC Fandome happening this weekend and what we're expecting to be another Batman trailer, the Batman trailer. it is the perfect time to have a little clickbaity episode, and that is Batman villains we have yet to see in movies that we want to see. And we're going to draft them.
I've been here for one Batman episode, sans Mac, and I'm glad to be here for another one.
Not to be very nostalgic, but the very first time I ever met Mac and Goo was during a Batman episode back in the early days of the Mac and Goo program.
If you look at one of our earlier episodes in this feed, it says number 2, but it was technically like number 30 on our old feed. So it's a little behind the scenes for you. And what we're going to do here is we're going to try and build a Batman movie, kind of loosely. It's just more about collecting the best villains that might mesh. And I've always said, you don't want to do more than 3 villains in a movie, and that's also kind of stretching it. So we're going to do 3 rounds, serpentine. Sorry, Keith, don't spit that drink out. It's afraid of snakes, guys. And we're going to do villains that have yet to have been featured in a theatrically released movie. So we are counting the one animated movie, which is Mask of the Phantasm, so she is off the board. And when we say featured, we mean play a role in the movie, like actually have an impact. So take, for example, Victor Zsasz in Birds of Prey. Not the main villain, but he's in a movie, so Victor Zsasz is off the board. But cameos were not going to count. So Deathstroke, still on the board, although he was supposed to be in Ben Affleck's Batman movie, doesn't matter, never happened, he's on the board. Also on the board still, Calendar Man. We just saw him featured in The Suicide Squad, but didn't really do much besides call,
"Hey, Polka Dot Man! I was hoping you'd entertain my kid's birthday party, you fucking pussy!"
Maybe the best line of the movie, by the way. I still love that.
Yeah, he made the most of it.
He did. So, all of the villains here from comics, animated series, and video games, they're all on the board. Also, anti-heroes count because they're not heroes and sometimes they play the villain. So, the draft order here is going to be Keith, Shime, Goo. I did the random order ahead of time. So without further ragu, let's get this started.
And now time for what you've all been waiting for. The year right now when the streets are paved with gold. We don't want no dead hoofers, only ducky shine crackers. A fuddy duddy may do, but no gobbledygook. Only the best of the best will be taken in the draft. But not just any old draft. It's the Mac and Goo Draft.
And Keith, who is the first villain off the board that you would like to see in a movie that has yet to be featured in a movie?
This is an easy one for me. It's my favorite character in all of comics. That would be Red Hood. Mm-hmm. And as you just led into it, anti-villains count. There are some comics where he is definitely very much a hero. There are other comics where he is very much a villain. So for the sake of my story and what I want to see, I'm shocked that he hasn't been in a live-action movie yet. They're doing him now on season 3 of Titans, and it's pretty good. But I think in a movie, it screams for a trilogy. Like a trilogy film with Red Hood starting out as Jason Todd Robin and then turning into Red Hood where he is a killer. Like where he is an absolute killer, the opposite of Batman. I think he's the most interesting of these kind of Bat family characters. So give me Red Hood right out of the gate, number one pick.
Saw that coming.
Saw that from a mile away.
Yep, correct.
It was pretty easy, which makes it easy for me because I knew exactly what I could take here at number 2. I'm going to take Deathstroke right off the bat. Mm-hmm. The conflict between Deathstroke and Batman has been widely written multiple times in many different ways, and you could easily do something with that. Deathstroke is an awesome character that has been underutilized in a lot of DC properties in general. And so I think having Deathstroke and Batman on the screen at the same time would be a freaking blast.
And we almost got that. And I think it would have been great because Affleck knows these characters. Affleck loves these characters. And I think that that would have been a movie that would have been a standout in the DCEU.
Especially with an older Batman and mm-hmm. an older Deathstroke, I think that really would have been awesome.
Mm-hmm. I think Joe Manganiello is a great casting, too. Like, you don't even need to recast it. He would have been perfect, and hopefully they use him more going forward.
And obviously, it doesn't matter that much, but another guy that loved the character. I mean, it works out really well for, like, Ryan Reynolds in Deadpool, or, like, Hugh Jackman and Wolverine. Like, the people that love doing this, they generally turn out the better performances.
Yeah, agreed.
So my pick here, and this is going to be a swing pick because I get the back-to-back serpentine, and I'm going to look to make more of horror, monster. And the way that I'm going to go about this is I'm going to take the most tragic, the most human of the monsters to do this, and that is Clayface. And nice. I'm going to opt for the Matthew Hagen story from the animated series. You could also go Basil Carlo, both actors. Carlo got pushed out of a role because he was too old. I would rather go with Hagen, who got into a car accident, disfigured his face. Maybe you can have it where Batman is the reason why he disfigured his face, so you have that another level to it as well. And he uses the cream to try and fix his face. It does for a while. He overdoses on it, and then he becomes Clayface. And the way that I think they could do this, where look at a movie like Infinity War, where Thanos, as this big CGI monster, still gives off all these emotions, and he feels like a human character. I feel like you could do that with a Matthew Hagen, with a Clayface, and use that tragic story as the heart of this monster movie that I would like to do.
Clayface was high on my board as well, and especially there's a great story, which I'm sure we'll be discussing coming up here, but when actually the first time Batman sees what he thinks is Jason Todd returning and what he thinks is like this new Red Hood character, it's actually Clayface originally. Obviously, as the shapeshifter, he can do a lot of different things. So he'd be a super fun villain to use because just him on his own is good.
Yeah.
But then him just kind of confusing Batman or confusing whoever else would be awesome.
Clayface was very high on my board as well. I think he would be an awesome, awesome character. I'm shocked that we haven't seen him in a live action movie yet to this point, because I felt like there was a time, especially in that like Batman Forever, Batman and Robin age, where kind of like
could they have pulled off the CGI though? They couldn't have pulled it off then.
But they would have tried.
There's been a big pile of shit.
Yeah. They would have. I think that it's good that they didn't, though. It's good that they didn't waste them, because I think it would have been shit. It would have been like Bane in that. And not that you needed the CGI for Bane. But I think after watching some of the characters like Killer Croc and King Shark, I think they can pull it off now. And so like it's got to be coming at some point.
Yep.
Coming to you.
And what I would also like to do, and this is not a part of the draft, but I think this would also lend into, in the movie, you could also have like a Gray Ghost in there. Another actor that Batman uses to try and track him down. And that also in the animated series was a great episode where you see Bruce Wayne fanboying over another hero. And I'm just going to toss this out here. The person that I would love to see play a Gray Ghost, George Clooney.
Oh, yeah.
Much like in the animated series, it was Adam West.
Yeah, that would be good.
And I think just deepening the Batman mythos and lore behind him like that is just like a fun little tie-in that a lot of diehard fans would appreciate.
Yeah, because they never really show that side of Batman, that side of Bruce Wayne. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, so for my swing pick, since I am going monster madness here, the way that Clayface is, where he's still in complete control of his mind, either as a human or as a monster, I'm now going to go with the Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde side here, and that is with Dr. Kirk Langstrom, and that is Man-Bat.
Nice.
So this would be a heavy CGI movie, but I think you could pull it off now, and this thing would really be frightening. This would be a true creature feature film, and it would be bananas, and I'll tell you right now, Man-Bat, every time that we have seen him, especially in, I believe it was Arkham Asylum, looks great. Looks awesome. Yeah. And you could really do a lot there. Get the old bat plane out.
He was in another one of them, too. I think, I forget if it was Origins or Night, where it was just sort of like a side mission where you would hear him screaming in the night and you'd have to like go track him down and like fight him in the air. It was pretty sick.
The entire first half of the movie could just be him screaming in the background. You're like, what is happening over there?
You know, that sounds like a bat.
That'd be awesome.
Man, but a man bat. Yeah.
Ooh, so I get the next pick here?
Yeah.
Sorry.
All right, I'm excited. I think I know who Keith's going to take. I'm not going to take him. I'm actually going to go in a different direction because I know. So Goo's going in this horror direction. I'm going to actually go in an assassin direction. I have Deathstroke. Ooh. So my next pick, actually, I'm going to take Lady Shiva. One of the lesser known characters, but actually the best hand-to-hand fighter in all of DC Comics. She is the greatest assassin to have ever existed in DC Comics. And so I think the idea of tying her and Deathstroke together with Batman would add some really cool fight scenes in the mix. You can get some flashbacks of when Batman had met Lady Shiva in his training days kind of thing. Add to that mythos and really kind of tie it in into almost like an assassin film. Instead of going in that horror direction, I lean more on that hand-to-hand combat, dope fight scenes kind of avenue.
All right, that's a good one, Shyam. That's a good one. All right, with my second pick, because now I'm trying to think like who would work well in a movie together. But I am going to go with the guy that Shyam was thinking of, and it's one of the more underrated villains. It's also the most R-rated villain that Batman has, and I think I already have Red Hood, and I feel like to really do him justice, it should be rated R as well. So give me Professor Pig.
Ah, I love it.
Yeah.
This is going to be your gritty. Goose is more horror creature feature. Mine's horror in the vein of like Seven. Like it's going to be like a dirty kind of nasty movie where Professor Pig is a guy that he'll create like his own kind of like zombie army in a way too that Batman can mow down. But just there's going to be a lot of grisly scenes of him doing experiments on live people and kind of like replacing arms with legs and turning them into hybrid animals. It's gonna be the most disgusting thing going. So give me Professor Pig.
I love that pick.
It's such a good pick. And it really plays into that like really kind of gritty, gross kind of underworld that you can play around with too. So Professor Pig's an awesome pick.
Yeah, because Gotham tried to use him, but they could only do so much on Fox.
It's a TV show.
And I think that the best use of him, and it's not even the real character, but it's a similar-ish character, is Eric Stone Street played a Professor Pig-like character on American Horror Story. And I think he could play a Professor Pig.
he could definitely pull that off. I'm trying to think who else would be good. John Goodman. No,
you could even if they wanted to go for like some star power, you could probably get someone like Jack Black to play a crazy freaking Professor.
Would he be
Pig.
Too big though?
He might be a little too over the top, but like at the same time, it would make it that much creepier because a guy that's that over the top, then like changing body parts and turning people into Dollytrons. Like
it's crazy.
Would be
it's
nuts.
Actually really funny. I was looking to like cast all my things ahead of time, and I was doing that thing. I'm like, you know what'd be good here? Jared Leto.
Jared Leto.
Everybody, I'm like, what am I talking about? Stop doing this. He's a great actor.
Before, but... too. My dream Red Hood is obviously Michael B. Jordan. I've said that.
Actually, you know who would be a great Professor Pig is Jake Gyllenhaal.
He could do it. Okay. Yeah. I'm trying to think. Yeah, that's not a bad one.
Christian Bale, too. Just thinking of like American Psycho, but
yeah, seriously. Yeah, that one's gonna be the most gruesome. All right, so with my third pick, there's actually three that I love, and I'd be happy with any of the three.
Mm-hmm.
One might make a little bit more sense for my movie, but I'm gonna go with probably the best villain, and then I think I'll figure out a way to tie it in. I'm gonna go with Hush.
Yeah.
Tommy Elliott, lifelong friend of Bruce Wayne and the Wayne family. And they get back together and they're like, oh, they're good friends. And he's a doctor and all this stuff. And then he turns out to be one of the great villains. And that book came in number one on our Batman comic book list that we did over on the Dork Podcast. So give me Hush. And I think what I would probably do is just have a movie where Batman is going after Professor Pig. Like he just knows that something's going on and there's all these gruesome murders and there's these gruesome hybrid things. But then also two people that were really, really close to him that turned on him and Jason Todd and Tommy Elliott all happening at the same time. And then Batman starts to lose his mind with all that stuff.
Guys, did it just get hot in here? Did someone turn the fryer on?
What's up, fellas?
Hi, fryer.
Oh, geez, that's not too excited to see me shine. Fuck. Jeez, so you have a fucking draft for Batman characters. You don't invite either of the comic book show hosts on.
Do you have a podcast?
I have a couple. Yes.
What are you doing here?
I've just been paying attention to the list, and I just wanted to offer my two cents. I think Keith clearly has the best team so far. It's not even close. He's wiped the floor with the two of you guys. I do like the Shiva pick, and I understand the direction you're going in, but you're putting way too much faith in DC. I'm going to do you a favor, Shyam, and I don't know who you have planned for third, but if you're not
locked in,
who the fuck is it then?
Well, should I make the pick now? It's my turn, right?
Why not? You have an audience.
We should have picked the whole squad first and then had Fire grade them. But all right, so Shyam's got to pick and then Goo to wrap it up.
The perfect way to tie all these assassins in is the Court of Owls.
Yes!
One of the newer, awesome villains that exist in Batman's mythos is the Court of Owls, and that's the perfect way to tie in an assassin like Deathstroke, an assassin like Lady Shiva. They don't know why they're all fighting Batman. They just know they were hired for a job, and out from the shadows steps the Court of Owls. And that's when Batman and maybe even Deathstroke kind of helps him out a little bit, take down the Court of Owls and figure it out from there.
So can I get a quick ruling on this, Goo? Because yes. I considered them. I had them on my list at first, but then I kind of went for more individuals.
Yes, because it is separate characters. So how do we want to do this?
Well, okay. So then I could theoretically do this then. I could just pick a Talon. I could pick the, like, Talon. Like a, the Talon. Talon. Yeah. So yeah. I could pick
Talon. D-Town, and then I could lead into a Court of Owls movies the next time around, like for the sequel.
There you go. Sets it up.
Okay.
Yes. But I would still count the Court of Owls because they're a full entity. It's a great pick.
But that'd be like, all right, we're doing a Marvel comic book character draft. I'll take the Avengers.
Is it the same thing? I don't think it is.
I'll take the Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yes. I also like, Keith, how you questioned it after Shine did it instead of bringing it up before.
Well, he didn't want to interrupt Shine. I actually appreciate that.
Oh, so you know, let him go. He described it very well. It's a great call.
And trust me, if I had got overruled at the Court of Owls, I had a backup plan, Friar. I came prepared, my friend.
I'm trying to help you.
My backup plan might even be better than just solo Talon, but that's where we'll go.
Red Hood is my favorite character here, and Hush is the best villain here, and Shine has the best story, no questions asked. So go ahead, Goo.
Mr. Irrelevant here, if I am going with a horror type of Batman movie and I already have these two monsters that are reliant on taking some kind of a formula, some kind of a potion, you need to have the man behind the scene pulling the strings, and I'm gonna go with Hugo Strange, the Hannibal Lecter-like character in Batman's universe, and he's a scientist, philosopher, criminal genius. This would be the guy that is at Arkham Asylum that you don't really know what's happening until the end when you find out it's been him all along.
The whole
time.
It could work. That's a good one, too. He was on my list. I have, I'm sure you guys do, too, but I have three that were still high on my list. And one of them, Goo, I thought you were going to take. Because you were going pretty creature feature with Clayface and Man-Bat.
Egghead?
I thought you were going to go Solomon Grundy.
So I was thinking about going with Solomon Grundy. I don't love him as a character. And I understand that he does fit into the whole horror monster aspect of it. But he's kind of just a fucking idiot.
You want to know how you incorporate Solomon Grundy in a movie? Is you get Harley Quinn in charge of Solomon Grundy. And he's just kind of the dumb muscle. And then you could make something of that.
Yeah.
Was the Phantasm on anybody's radar for this one?
So we said no to the Phantasm because it is a part of a theatrical released movie.
Even if it is animated, it was theatrically released. I also had a few more honorable mentions as well. I was sticking with my assassin theme. One of the people I had was Orphan or David Kane. I figure it being able to introduce him and therefore entering Cassandra Kane would be kind of a cool way to do that. The other one I had was the Heretic. Seeing as he's basically a clone of Damian Wayne, that would have been a really cool tie-in. You can also kind of bring back the Al Ghuls in that later on or something like that. And the last guy I had was the Ventriloquist.
Yeah.
You know, he was in the animated series. You could kind of make something crazy with him a little bit if you wanted to, and it would be really creepy to see a puppet calling the shots.
A Scarface.
Went with the Ventriloquist, and then you also took, what was her name, Shime, in the animated series? The little girl who was actually a full-grown woman?
Oh, I know who you're talking about, but I don't remember her name.
I can't think of her name because she was a fucking creepy as shit. And it was really sad, and she was dating Killer Croc at one point. That was a weird episode. I didn't like it.
Yikes. Yeah, Ventriloquist is on my list, too. We mentioned at the start Calendar Man, and I like
Baby Doll.
Thank you, Baby Doll. Oh, yeah.
Oh, Baby Doll. Yeah. So Calendar Man was great in The Long Halloween, and they actually really used him like a Hannibal Lecter character, and it could be somebody who's already caught, and Batman goes back and has these weird conversations with.
Yeah.
And then the other guy, you could do it goofy, but you could also do it really dark, and that'd be Mad Hatter. I like Mad Hatter a lot. You can kind of treat him like Scarecrow, and you can do all the toxins if you want to do all that stuff and like the trippy shit, and that'd be a movie that'd be pretty badass in 3D. Like, you can really Doctor Strange it with some of the Mad Hatter potions. So that was another guy I considered,
and he was in Gotham too.
Yeah, he was.
By the way, all of these characters were featured in the Lego movie or the Batman Lego movie. Doesn't count. They were all cameos. Some other characters, if you wanted to go down a goofier road, you could have went with Condiment Man. You could have went with King Tut or Egghead.
The guy who played Mad Hatter, though, in the Gotham series, I know we all dump on that series, but he was actually pretty good, and I forget who that
actor's
name is.
No, there were a couple of good characters in the Gotham series. There was just I know that Keith really wanted Fish Mooney.
I almost drafted Fish. Yeah, that show was like the highs were pretty good, but then there was like bottom out lows. Another one they used on that show, or they used a version on that show, was Firefly.
Yeah.
Who's pretty good. Kind of one dimensional, obviously, but if you're making a movie with three villains, you wouldn't need to do a lot of Firefly, but you could utilize Firefly just torching shit.
And two other guys too, one of which I actually had on my list, that they kind of used in Arrow a little bit too, which are technically also Batman villains, is Anarchy and Prometheus. Yeah, so like those two guys you easily could have tied in some ways as well.
I stand by what I said. I think Shyam has the best story with all his characters. I think Keith has the two like most popular characters, as much as I love Deathstroke. Shiva's great pull. And Goo, yours could get really weird. So like, you guys have That's your own strengths, but when it comes down to the voting, I'm going to have to go with Shyam on this one. I think he's the winner. Keith will win because it'll look best on the poll, but Shyam put together the best story, and that's most important.
Always get the best poll.
Get out of here. All right, guys. So before we head to Max Sack, Keith, want to start us off with a quick recap of your draft?
Yeah, I went Red Hood in the first round, and I would cast Michael B. Jordan. Then I went Professor Pig in my second pick. TBD on who I'd want there. We tossed around some good names. And then I'm going Hush with the third one. And if he wasn't just Thanos, I feel like Josh Brolin would be a good Hush.
Mm-hmm.
But so somebody of that ilk would be a good Hush. But those are my Red Hood, Professor Pig, Hush.
I have Deathstroke, Lady Shiva, and the Court of Owls we decided was the Talon. And so I would have a very assassin-based film. More of a James Bond feel, but with Batman. Oh,
here's my question. Would you ever have the Court of Owls and Deathstroke work together? Or would you have them be like almost like a triangle where Deathstroke also hates them and Batman?
Well, my original thought was that Deathstroke and Lady Shiva. First, Deathstroke is the one introduced. Lady Shiva comes in as well. They're both hired by the same person. But of course, Court of Owls are so powerful. You don't know who you're hired by. You're just given money and told to kill Batman. And eventually, neither can do it. Batman convinces them to talk it out. Come to find out the Court of Owls is behind everything. Shiva's like, I'm not dealing with this. It leaves, and Deathstroke and Batman have to take on the Court of Owls by themselves.
Love it.
And I'm going to go with a horror creature feature Batman movie, and that is with a Matthew Hagen Clayface. And I believe I am going to have him played by, I can't think of what I just had in my mind. I had a good idea, and I forgot it. I'll circle back around to this. But
all right.
By having Clayface, I will also use the Gray Ghost played by George Clooney. And then I will have Man-Bat. I believe that'll be a nice little scare. And then also go with Hugo Strange played by Gary Oldman.
Oh, my God.
Ooh, that's nice.
Gary Oldman can do everything. That guy's the best.
Let him get weird. He was a bit too tied down with Commissioner Gordon. He was great, obviously. But let him get weird here.
I love that one. That's a good call.
So, guys, go online right now. We'll have the poll up. Let us know who you think created the best Batman movie out of villains yet to be seen in a movie.
You're right. Let's get into Max Sack.
And Max Sack could be anything. And this month, it is spooky. And since I said, hey, we've got Rip Creep on the podcast today, Keith, you tweeted out a list of streaming movies that are now available, horror, for the month of October.
That's right, Goo. I'll tell you right now what's screaming on all of these platforms. Actually, I stole that from Terror Tubi because everything is on Tubi, and they let you know what's screaming right now. Mostly old movies that you may or may not want to see.
Oh, time out. Daniel Day-Lewis as Matthew Hagen. That's who I was thinking of.
Oh.
Really pull him in out of retirement.
Sure.
He's the greatest actor of all time. Might as well do it.
That'd be pretty good.
Yeah.
That'd be pretty good.
Yeah, but go ahead.
So I took a look at Netflix, HBO Max, Hulu, Peacock to see what was streaming. And I'll tell you what, HBO Max is really where it's at. They have everything. They have 28 Days Later, Amityville Horror. They got the first two Conjuring movies. They got the Evil Deads. They got the Final Destination movies. They have Gremlins 1 and 2. So you'd get that trivia question right. They have The Invisible Man, which was one of my favorite movies from a year ago. The Nightmare on Elm Street franchise. I recently rewatched the original. The Shining is on there. Trick or Treat, which is a sneaky good movie. It's only like 80 minutes long somehow. But check out Trick or Treat. And on Peacock, only a handful on Peacock. But I'll tell you what. I Know What You Did Last Summer, Cabin in the Woods, An American Werewolf in London, and the Saw franchise. all on Peacock right now.
Oh, and they're
as of today,
Halloween Kills, right?
Halloween Kills, as of today or tomorrow, right?
Correct. I think at midnight tonight or whatever. I think it comes out the 15th. So, yeah, Halloween Kills on Peacock as well. Which
do they not have the Chucky movies on Peacock as well?
Oh, they might. I didn't write that down.
The only reason I asked that is because I watch Sunday Night Football on Peacock now, and I constantly get commercials about their Halloween stuff, and Chucky happens to be on there.
Wow. Well, they have a new show. There's a new show streaming on both USA and Sci-Fi just called Chucky, but that's not my favorite.
No.
Probably not.
Keith, have you caught any of the episodes of the Movies That Made Us yet, the horror?
No, once. I am looking forward to it, though, because I believe it's Halloween, Friday the 13th, Aliens, and a couple others that I definitely want to watch.
Yeah, so my main question from the Halloween one, and I think that we've talked about this movie several times. This is something that's never come up, is the producer of the movie claims that he came up with the story. And that's something that I have never heard before.
Not John Carpenter?
Right, and John Carpenter isn't on this special, so he can't refute what's being said. So when this producer's like, I came up with the babysitters and like this theater of the mind and this murder, like, I've never heard anyone talk about this.
I thought it was Deborah Hill.
Well, Deborah Hill wrote it, and then
he's no longer with us.
Carpenter punched it up. But
yeah.
I thought that Carpenter at least had the idea for the movie and then passed it on.
I thought you were right about that. I don't remember any producer jumping in and taking credit for it. It's kind of a weird one.
Yeah, came out of nowhere.
Because I was wondering if I would learn anything about that. Because I've seen
going
all the
into
extras,
it, yeah,
all the DVD stuff. I've seen it all, but I'll give it a go anyway.
I've seen it all for all of these movies, or for all of like the Halloween movies, and I was like, yeah, I'll watch this, but I probably know everything from the movie.
Right.
And then they say this, I'm like, I've never heard anyone ever say this.
Hold the fuck
Who,
on.
Who's
buddy?
This guy? I've also watched the Coming to America episode. And that's a weird one.
Yeah. I think I'm going to try to bang out the horror ones within the next week. That's what I'll try to do.
Well, Eddie Murphy is not on this, so it's just John Landis telling his side of the story. But when they get into a little bit of like the Twilight Zone accident, I would rather just see another story about that. I'd like them to go a little further into that.
Sure. Yeah.
All right. So if you made it to this point in the podcast, please tweet us a GIF of the character that you would like to see the most in a Batman movie that we have yet to see, a villain, if you will. Shime, where can we find you?
You can find me on the Twitters and the Instagrams and the Twitch at Shime Time. Pretty simple. Nicely streamlined.
Keith, you want to plug yourself?
Yeah, at Dork Podcast on Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. And then you can find the podcast everywhere but Spotify, apparently. Everywhere but there.
Yeah, I now listen to like everything on Spotify except Dork Podcast. I have to go back
to
the
Apple
Podcast.
I don't know what the deal is there. I asked the higher-ups, too, and I got an absolute non-answer from them. I was like, okay.
It's all about It's on the app.
It is on the app. And everywhere else but Spotify. But whatever.
All right. You can find the Mac and Goo program. Well, you're listening to it right now, so you must have already done that.
You found it. You found it.
Apple Podcast, iHeartRadio, Spotify, Spreaker, iHeartRadio. Of course, you can get a t-shirt from Watertown Sportswear if you write a review on the Apple Podcast. We need those. We need those to survive. We're going to die without them. So do
what
that.
Is it 34 Mount Auburn Street, right?
34 Mount Auburn Street, Watertown, Massachusetts. There's a phone number there. If you call it, they'll answer. There's also a fax number. So do that, and we will send you a shirt. Also, tpublic.com merch. We are just hotcakes right now on those I Think You Should Leave shirts. So buy them while they're there.
Oh, I wore my Corn Cob TV shirt the other day to work. Fantastic.
Hell yeah.
Get a lot of questions?
No.
No.
I was like, Spectrum's trying to cancel it. They're like, what the fuck?
The only person who probably even knew what it was, to be honest, was me.
Most likely, yeah.
All right, so next week is going to be weird for Mac and Goo because we need to do Halloween Kills, but we also need to do DC Fandome. So I think I would rather do Fandome first, but I need to figure out Mac's schedule. And then I might try and squeeze Halloween Kills in with Bond, but I don't know.
I'm excited for Fandome. I can't wait.
I have said this many of times, and the Suicide Squad has kind of turned this on its head, but DC Fandome, up until anything after it last year, was the best thing that DC had done.
It was
great. That's fair.
Their weekend special was better than any of their movies.
Yeah, it was awesome. Yeah.
It gets you hyped up. I mean, we're going to get to see a little bit of The Rock as Black Adam. We're going to get to see a new trailer for Batman.
That's the main
thing. Those two things alone have me giddy.
I just want to see this trailer. I've watched the other trailer a million times. I want a new trailer.
I can't.
But also the video games are really. Yeah. I can't wait for the video games. The comic books are better. Like DC Comics are better than Marvel Comics. And then the TV shows I enjoy. I know they're not great, but like I like Titans. I watched most of the CW shows, or at least I did. So yeah, I'm excited for the old fandom.
Same here. So guys, thank you for joining me. Tuesdays are Goose Days and sometimes Fridays, and really they could be any day as long whatever you want to do. It's your life. I abuse kangaroos.
Bye.
Please flip the cassette over to side B to continue the adventure.